Gopi Channa Pahalava Girvarid Hare Ishwaranandana Vrajajana Ranjana Ishwaranandana Vrajajana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja
Jai Om Vishnupad, Paramahamsa, Parabrahmika, Charaswati, Siddha Sri, Shrimas Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, Shri Prabhupada Ki, ISKCON Founder Charya, Shri Prabhupada Ki, Samaveda Bhakti Vrindakiyaya, Gaura Vimananda, all glories to some of the devotees, all glories to some of the devotees, all glories to some of the devotees, all glories to Shri Guru and Shri Granada. Ma Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Basai Bhutade Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Kanamani Namaste Sarasthati Gauravana Vishwani Nirvishesha Srimavadi Paskata Adhisattari Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 21, Text 37. Mayopa brimhitang bhumna Brahmananantashaktina Bhuteshu Kosha Rupena Visheshur Neva Lakshate Mayopa Brahmhitang Pumna Brahmananta Shaktina Bhuteshu Kosha Rupena Visheshur Neva Lakshate Mayopa Brimhitang Bhumna Brahmananta Shaktina Bhuteshu Kosha Rupena Visheshur Neva Lakshate
Thank you.
Vaishnavis. Maya, by me, Upabrimhitam, established, Bhumna, by the unlimited, Brahmana, the changeless absolute, Ananta Shaktina, whose potencies have no end, Bhuteshu, within the living beings, Gosha Rupena, in the form of subtle sound, the Omkar, the Sheshu, in the subtle fibrous covering of a lotus stalk, Urna, one thread, Eva, as Lakshate appears. Translation purport by disciples of Srila Prabhupada. As the unlimited, unchanging, and omnipotent personality of Godhead dwelling within all living beings, I personally establish the Vedic sound vibration in the form of Omkara within all living entities. It is thus perceived subtly, just like a single strand of fiber on a lotus stalk. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead personally resides within the heart of every living entity. And from this verse, we can understand that the seed of all Vedic knowledge is also situated within all living beings. In this way, the process of awakening Vedic knowledge and thereby awakening one's eternal relationship with God is natural and necessary for everyone. All perfection is found within the heart of the living being. As soon as the heart is purified by chanting the holy names of God, that perfection, Krishna consciousness, immediately awakens. Om Jnanatam Rindisha Gananjana Salakaya Chaksumitamina Tasma Shigarve Namaha Vanchakalpatyugascha Kripasindhugevacha Patitano Pavanibhyo Vaishnavyo Namo Namaha. So very, very nice verse, nice example here. Now this analogy of a single strand of fiber on the lotus stalk being perceived subtly, I don't exactly understand. There's no further explanation. And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, in his purport, simply mentions it as if we should all understand that analogy. Of course, if you're familiar with the lotus strand, stalk, you would know that, that all the fibers are there. Basically, the idea is that they're subtly or they're not really perceived or seen immediately, but within that single stalk, there's all these different fibers. So that's about all the explanation I have for that. But there is a very nice sequence of understanding that's here within this verse and purport. So basically, we can see, I think, at least 4 points that are here. First, that all knowledge and perfection is within each living entity. Is not something external. Secondly, that the spiritual sound vibration permeates everywhere, both the material and spiritual universes and within the heart of every living entity. This Vedic sound is there innate within us. Then the spiritual sound vibration will reawaken this natural Krishna consciousness that is within everyone, and the process is through the purification of the heart and the spiritualization of the of the living entity that is within through contact with the Vedas and specifically the holy names of Krishna. I was thinking about this, and it reminded me so much of there was a back in we like to always say back in the old days or many years ago. We had about one or two recordings of Srila Prabhupada, and there's a couple of those early records that were made, Krishna meditation, and I think the one was just called the Hare Krishna Mantra or something, where Prabhupada gives this little talk before he starts chanting Hare Krishna, and he explains exactly what's being described here in this verse in purport about the potency of the holy name and sound vibration and how that invokes our dormant Krishna consciousness. I remember because we didn't have very much, we only had these one or two, you know, right? So we played them over and over, and I practically, at one point, almost had this lecture memorized. It's fairly short. It's like about a page, but it's like almost every sentence, you know, has such power. So I'm not reading all of this, but I wanted to read a little bit about this. I think it's called, at least I found it on the transcription, it's called Hare Krishna Classics. So this was Srila Prabhupada's lecture. He says, this transcendental vibration, by chanting of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, is the sublime method for reviving our Krishna consciousness. As living spiritual souls, we are all originally Krishna conscious entities, but due to our association with matter since time immemorial, our consciousness is now polluted by material atmosphere. This illusion is called Maya, or hard struggle for existence over the stringent laws of material nature. This illusory struggle against material nature can at once be stopped by a revival of our Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is not an artificial imposition on the mind. This consciousness is the original energy of the living entity. When we hear the transcendental vibration, this consciousness is revived, and the process is recommended by authorities for this age. By practical experience also, we can perceive that by chanting this Maha Mantra, or great chanting for deliverance, one can at once feel transcendental ecstasy from the spiritual stratum, when one is factually on the plane of spiritual understanding, surpassing the stages of sense, mind, and intelligence. One is situated on the transcendental plane. This chanting of the Hare Krishna Mantra is directly enacted from the spiritual platform, surpassing all lower states of consciousness. There's no need of understanding the language of the mantra, nor any need of mental speculation or intellectual adjustment for chanting. It springs automatically from the spiritual platform, and as such, anyone can take part in this transcendental sound vibration without any previous qualification and dance in ecstasy. The three words, namely Hara, Krishna, and Rama, are transcendental seeds of the Maha Mantra. And chanting is a spiritual call for the Lord and his internal energy, Hara, for giving protection to the conditioned soul. The chanting is exactly like the genuine cry by the child for the mother. No other means, therefore, of spiritualization is as effective in this age as chanting the Maha Mantra. Jai Prabhupada. So that probably sounded familiar to many of you. You know, I always recall some of these lines. You know, that just, you know, really express exactly what's being described here in the purport. So if I were intelligent, I would stop there with this wonderful purport by Srila Prabhupada and say, are there any questions? But because I have some time to fill, I'll continue. So first of all, this perfectional state is dormant within each living entity. This is one of the key components of understanding Krishna conscious philosophy. In other words, that we all have the original... We all are the spirit soul that is within this body that is different from the mind, the intelligence, the ego, the subtle body, and of course the gross body made of the five material elements. So this original soul, the spiritual body, is there within. Prabhupada said in a lecture in Delhi, 1976, we are eternal. As God is eternal, we are also eternal because we are part and parcel of God. As God is always blissful, jolly, similarly, our nature is always blissful and jolly. Satchit Ananda Vigraha. Sat means eternal, chit blissful. Chit means full of knowledge, and Ananda. Ananda means blissfulness. That is our nature. And then in Montreal, actually, we are all eternal. Both God and living entity, they are qualitatively one eternal. Satchit Ananda Vigraha. That's, and he quotes from the Brahma Samhita 5.1. So, of course, this is a very fundamental aspect of our philosophy, the nature of the soul. Not only are we eternal, but we are also full of knowledge and full of happiness, or ananda, or bliss. This is there inherent within us. That's part of our Sanatana Dharma. That is, and Prabhupada described that, Of course, that also means that we are not only eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss, but we are also eternal servitor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And those are our essential qualities. They cannot be removed or taken away from the living entity, although they are covered at the moment by our contact, the material nature, the three modes of nature, and, of course, this material body. So I want to read one more. It's a little book called Beyond Illusion and Doubt. I didn't even know there was such a book. Is this one of those little compilations? Okay. The spirit soul is now within this material body, but originally the spirit soul had no material body. The spiritual body of the spirit soul is eternally existing. The material body is simply a coating of the spiritual body. Brahma Bhuta is attained when we no longer identify with the material body, but with the spirit soul within. When we come to this platform, we become joyful. And then he quotes Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma. Now, interestingly, Srila Prabhupada develops this point quite a bit. He spends a paragraph or two about the idea that the material body is formed after the spiritual body or around the spiritual body. So, you know, there's a Christian saying that man is created in God's image, which, of course, is true because Krishna has a human-like, apparently, human-like form, although, of course, his body is totally spiritual. But the living entity has that same spiritual form. It's not just so we're spiritual and we're some white light or we're, you know, we have some essence and somehow or another we've manifested these. No. There's the actual spiritual body is there also in its unmanifest form. But Prabhupada talks a lot about how this material body sort of forms around it. And he gives an example just like the glove on a hand. He said, you know, in other words, the form of the glove fits around the hand. It's not, but the essential thing is the hand. Then the glove later is made to fit around it. So I don't quite understand if we have this sort of spiritual body that's, you know, that we're formed around. But the idea is that is within us. And the process of Krishna consciousness is bringing that out and developing a realization of the spiritual body that is now covered. So this is very much connected with spiritual sound vibration, as Prabhupada mentioned in that lecture. And the spiritual sound is described in these verses. Spiritual sound permeates everywhere and everything. In yesterday's verse, it was described that the Shabda Brahman, or spiritual sound vibration, was termed as Anantaparam, without limit. So, Shabda Brahman is everywhere. Without limit, throughout the universe, material world, spiritual world, within us, all pervading. Prabhupada discusses this a little bit more. This is from a lecture 1968, Los Angeles. Who knows, you know, probably it's unlimited. Shabda Brahman, sound vibration. Sound, Brahman and sound. Just like Brahman means all-pervading. So the sound is all-pervading. You take everything, there is sound. And he mentions how it's in fire, it's in water, it's in earth, everything. You know, it's kind of that progression of the elements. So the sound is all-pervading. Brahman, this is transcendental sound. Just like your radio message, television sound, they cannot go beyond this earthly planet at most. But there is sound which can penetrate the whole universe and go to the spiritual world. Sound is all-pervading. That is a fact, scientific fact. If that sound is potent, then it can penetrate this material sky and go to the spiritual sky and go to Krishna directly. That sound is Hare Krishna. Golakara Premadhana Harinam Sankirtan Ratina Janmilokena Toi. So, Prabhupada makes this distinction between material sound and spiritual sound. We are all familiar with material sound vibration. We hear it every day. It's all around us. It seems to be all-pervading also. At least it's all-pervading within our scope of material world. But what are some of the characteristics of material sound? Well, often it's annoying and obnoxious, but beyond that, it's not eternal. Right? It doesn't have that same quality. It's like these sound bites just come and go. I mean, we just, you know, totally invaded by, you know, information. I can't remember when somebody said how many pieces of information on the internet. I mean, it was in the trillions, I think. You know, there's just so much that's out there, written or orally, or, you know, however it is. But we constantly need more. There's so many millions of books, thousands of books written. There's so many, you know, Facebook pages are put up and commented on and repeatedly commented upon. And you wait for the next days for something new. Because now, of course, devotees sometimes post some very, very wonderful things, pictures, pastimes, things like that, inspirational things. So that's, of course, there's the appropriate use. But generally, all of this becomes, Prabhupada would say, hackneyed, mundane. It becomes stale. You know, I mentioned this before, but, you know, I always date myself. But back when I was a teenager or something, they had the hit parade. And every week they go through what's going to be the new number one song, going to be the countdown, number 10. I don't know. Anybody remember that? Or, I don't know, just, maybe it still goes on. I don't know. You know, probably not. You know, but, you know, we had to wait a whole week. Now it's probably this moment, this, you know, this 5 minutes, what's the new number one. You know, but every week there'd be a number one. And then sometimes those number one songs were so good and so popular, they might last 3 or 4 weeks as number one. Then they start dropping, right? And then they would go down, and then eventually they drop off. Then they become an oldie, and they play on some oldie stations eventually, and a few people have some memory of it, but no one is really very interested anymore. So it constantly has to change. And same thing with books. They get on the bestseller list, and, you know, and eventually then they become classics, and kids are forced to read them in school or whatever. But same with movies, video, whatever it might be. The idea is there's a satiation effect. We do tire of material sound vibration and constantly need something new. And that's the difference between spiritual sound vibration. Spiritual sound vibration is eternal. It has that same effect on the soul over and over. Anyone ever calculate how many times, how many mantras you chant per year? I did once. It's over a million. If you chant 16, if you just chant 16 rounds a day, you're chanting a million names of Krishna per year. I hope that's accurate. I wrote it down. It must be right. And there's only three words. You know, so when you think about it, it's pretty amazing, isn't it? And, you know, and if we ever do get tired of it, what do we think? Oh, I'm not hearing very well. I'm not chanting very well. I need to chant better. In other words, we don't think there's something wrong with the mantra, do we? We don't say, well, the mantra just doesn't work anymore. We say, right? No, the mantra's always working perfectly. We don't always hear so perfectly. We don't always chant so perfectly. But the mantra's always working. And, you know, it's like every devotee knows there's sort of that place where you think, okay, I really just today, I need to sit, I need to focus on chanting nicely. And the effect is usually there, right? Not always immediately. You know, I remember, I used to say it takes me about 8 rounds just to wake up. Then maybe I start hearing a couple of mantras, you know. But, you know, but it is there. And the more that we persist and the more sincerely we chant, we feel that effect, and it is not a material effect. This is something we experience. It is actually awakening and enlivening the soul, purifying the heart, and helping us to connect with Krishna. So if we continue year after year chanting nicely, we begin to realize that Krishna and his name are non-different. And maybe a little bit in the beginning, but that realization does come about for devotees. And we start, you know, recognizing or experiencing Krishna and his name. So, and a similar process with hearing. The Vedas are mentioned in this verse, how the Vedas are all-pervading. Usually when you think of Vedas, I mean, we think of, obviously, chanting and mantras are part of the Vedas, but we also think about the actual books and the words of the Vedas. Those are also all-pervading, right? I mean, the Vedas are very, you know, there's personified Vedas. We have a whole chapter in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, that they speak in big philosophy. It's so, that's another thing about how personal all of this is, talking about the spiritual body. You know, but we can read the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita over and over. It's always fresh, always new, you know. This happens to me constantly. Just the other day, I was reading something in Bhagavad Gita, and again, for about the 50th, 100th time, said, I don't remember this was there. I'm sure, you know, I'd read it before, but it was like always new, always fresh. And that's partly because, you know, our memories are poor, but also because there's fresh realization. There's something new, because as we advance in our hearing and chanting, then we keep approaching the same sound vibration at a deeper and deeper level, hopefully, right? So that we are experiencing more and more from the Vedic sound. So the main difference is spiritual sound vibration enlivens the soul. In purport to 10.1.13, Srila Prabhupada said, even though advanced devotees hear continually about the Lord for years, they still feel these topics are coming to them as newer and fresher. Therefore, such devotees cannot give up hearing of the pastimes of Lord Krishna. Okay. So, we covered all-pervading nature of spiritual sound, the difference between material sound. We mentioned how the original position of living entity is the pure spirit soul that is within. And now we talk about how spiritual sound reawakens the natural Krishna consciousness within everyone. So there's great effect of hearing spiritual sound, and particularly, of course, hearing from the right sources, from the pure devotee, from the Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, as mentioned. So what are the effects? Obviously, it gives us transcendental knowledge. We understand we're not our body. We begin to realize our eternal relationship with Krishna. The mind and intelligence become convinced through this hearing, right? And because of that, their attraction to the material world will lessen. And as our mind becomes attracted to Krishna, to devotees, to service, the mind becomes purified. So it's not understood exactly on a material platform or a material intellectual basis, but our spiritual nature is becoming revived through this association of spiritual sound vibration. So the real change is not for the spirit soul, it's really not mental or intellectual. It's really the change of heart, the transformation and spiritualization of the consciousness. That's what's going on at a deeper level. We experience it in our senses, mind, intelligence, but the transformation is going on at the deeper level within the heart. Okay. So this best process of change of the heart is through the effects of spiritual sound vibration. Continuing that lecture to the Prabhupada that we started about Goloka Vrindavan Harinam Sankirtan, the next verse is Retina Janmilo Kenatoya. I have no attachment to these things, to material things. I have got attachment to radio sound, television sound, so many sounds, but I have no attachment for the supreme sound which is coming from Goloka Vrindavan. In this material world, my heart is always burning on account of so many miseries, Prabhupada's quoting. But I could not find out the way how to get out. The sound vibration will get you out of the blazing fire of this material condition. The sound, Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam, chant always, everything will be perfectly done. Go on. So, suffering in this material world, but the sound vibration of the holy name will relieve us from the blazing fire of this material condition. So there's a process of how that happens. We've touched upon it. The process is, of course, through purification from the sound vibration. Srila Prabhupada explains in Nectar Devotion, the beginning of Krishna consciousness and devotional service is hearing, Sanskrit called shravana. All people should be given a chance to come and join devotional parties so they may hear. When one links his ears to give oral reception to the transcendental vibration, he quickly becomes purified and cleansed in heart. And of course, Lord Chaitanya Shastaka confirms this purification, this cleansing of the heart through the Harinam. In Raja Vidya, Srila Prabhupada states, as soon as we revive our spiritual body, we become unaffected by dualities. Now we're going back to this idea of the spiritual body. Reviving that spiritual body that's within. As we begin to make spiritual advancement while in the material body, we begin to take on the qualities of a spiritual body. And then Prabhupada's very well-known, famous example of the iron rod. If we put iron into fire, it becomes hot. And then it becomes red hot. And finally, it is no longer iron, but fire. Whatever it touches bursts into flames. As we become advanced in Krishna consciousness, our material body will become spiritualized and will no longer be affected by material contamination. So actually, even the material body becomes spiritualized. What to speak of reviving the spiritual body that's within, even the material body acts as though it were a spiritual body, in a sense, when one becomes completely purified. Just as that iron rod, when placed in the fire, gets hotter and hotter, and eventually you take it out and it acts exactly like fire. It has the qualities of, it has all the qualities of heat and light, etc. So in the same way, when one's spiritual consciousness is revived, even if one is in the material body, the jiva mukta, then one has those spiritual qualities manifesting. Narada Pancharatna says, when the spirit soul renders service unto the Supreme, there are two side effects. One is freed from material designation, and one's senses are purified by being employed in the service of the Lord. So that purification is coming about, I hate to say automatically, but it's coming about, let's say, naturally. It's coming about in its own course through the process of devotional service. Not mechanically, because everything is dependent upon the mercy of the Lord, you know, but we can attain the mercy of the Lord, we can attract the Lord through that service, through performing the processes of chanting his holy name, hearing his words. Krishna becomes attracted and helps to purify us within the heart. So after all, talking about within the heart, pure consciousness of living entity, but also in the heart, of course, is Paramatma, super soul, Krishna residing there. And it's actually Paramatma who is helping the living entity to become purified from within his heart. So it's important that we hear from the right source. We want to hear from those advanced devotees or pure devotees, from our acharyas, from our guru, Srila Prabhupada. And we want to hear from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, from the Vedic literatures, which emanate the spiritual sound vibration that has this effect. Bhagavatam says, 1340, the Srimad Bhagavatam is the literary incarnation of God. It is compiled by Srila Vyasadeva, the incarnation of God. It is meant for the ultimate good of all people. It is all successful, all blissful, and all perfect. So this Bhagavatam is Amala Purana, uncontaminated, pure, pure spiritual sound vibration. So when we contact the Srimad Bhagavatam, we are in contact with that pure spiritual sound vibration. In the purport, a couple of verses later, Prabhupada says, if men in this age of Kali want to see the real light of life, they must take these two books only. Their aim of life will be fulfilled. Bhagavad Gita is preliminary study of the Bhagavatam, and Srimad Bhagavatam is the sunum bonum of life, Lord Sri Krishna personified. I'm going to end here with a... something from Bhaktivinoda Thakur from Harinam Chintamani. Talks about these same points. A little different perspective, but basically saying the same thing. Bhaktivinoda says, here, when one advances past the stage of sadhana to, you know, bhava prema, the higher stages, one's identification with the material body will vanish. An identification with one's spiritual body will predominate. In that spiritual body, the Sarup City, one will always see Vrindavan and serve Radha and Krishna. This final stage is called Sapati Das. By Krishna's mercy, suddenly one's material body, mind, and intelligence and false ego will be cast off, and one will appear in a pure spiritual body serving Radha Krishna along with eternal associates. The jiva can achieve the stage in perfecting rasa by taking the name and becoming purified. I'm thinking, when, oh, when will that day be mine? But this is possible. This is our future of perfection through continuing chanting. So Bhaktivinoda says, therefore, the jiva with faith should take up chanting of the name seriously and constantly in good association. He will take superior Vaishnava association, avoid a material association, and reside away from material glare. By the strength of these three items, he will achieve his position of real glory. Interesting expression, real glory, yes. The position of the pure spirit soul is glorious. Our eternal sarup, our eternal position as pure spirit soul is glorious, is wonderful. So Bhaktivinoda advises us the way to revive that glorious spiritual body is through chanting the holy name, association of devotees, and avoid material association. Pretty simple formula, same formula Srila Prabhupada gave us. Right? Try to associate with devotees, associate here with the temple or wherever one can, and to avoid material association as much as possible. Bhaktivinoda Thakur also said that when one is living and working in the world, one can't avoid material association completely. And I mentioned this before, but this kind of fits here. But Bhaktivinoda says, when we are in that material association, we may have to associate, we may have to have friendships like that, he says, but we do not give our heart. We don't give our heart to that material association. He says, that we reserve for the devotees. Give your heart to the devotees, even if you have to be within the material world. And thus, spiritual sound vibration, eternal spiritual body, spiritual consciousness is revived. You get out of the material world. Very wonderful process, with no problems, right? Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Krishna. So, Janmashtami and see through the crown.
In the introduction to the Nectar of Instruction, Prabhupada says that the advancement in Krishna consciousness is dependent upon the attitude of the practitioner. So you've given a wonderful class about the basic process, of hearing transcendental Shabda Brahma. And Trinadapi, but is there some more thoughts that you have on the attitude with which we approach our chanting and how to really accelerate this so that we can come to that platform that you were describing in Harinam Chintamani?
I'm not sure how quickly. I wish if I knew how to do it quickly, I would certainly assure that. But you began to say it, of course, Lord Chaitanya said with humility, if we approach the holy name with great humility and more tolerant than tree, humbler than the blade of grass, etc., that's probably the best attitude to have. And that humility of the holy name also means humility towards the devotees, that we avoid offenses. Probably the biggest stumbling block for our quick advancement in Krishna consciousness is simply too many offenses against the holy name. If we chanted offenselessly, well, basically we'd be there. So we're in the clearing stage called Nambasa, where we're not in Namaparad stage, where we're, very offensive to the holy name, but we're at least actively trying to clear those offenses. And, of course, the most prominent offenses that will cause the most difficulty are to commit sinful activities on the strength of chanting. Certainly want to avoid that. And Vaishnava Aparad. So if we can avoid those things and just chant with humility and sincerity, how are you sincere? Kind of Prabhupada would sort of say things like, you become sincere by being sincere. It's difficult to define it further. We just have to approach in a very sincere, humble way. And that advancement will be there. You made any more thoughts on it?
Well, I was thinking, that if we're constantly, even when we're chanting japa or any of our activities in the day, if we're thinking, how can I best please Krishna? Or, having this mood of really pleasing Krishna by our chanting. It seems that the reciprocation is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. When we get into that, it's really an attitude.
Yeah. Thank you. It's very nice. Sriva Kram Prabhu?
Very nice class.
So here is Lord Krishna's eloquent speaking again. The beautiful example he gave with the lotus star. We have hundreds and hundreds of experience of picking the lotus. But sometimes it becomes a little annoying. When you break the lotus, there's these little strands that comes up. Mm. You hardly see it, but it kind of hooks the flower or the leaf, you know, and it becomes a little annoying, but it's, you could barely see it, you know, so the comparison is given there.
Thanks for helping explain that analogy.
Very nice. But a quick question. The mind, the intelligence, the ego. You read something just now that disappears, but I thought that the mind, the intelligence, and the ego, or false ego, becomes purified, and it remains with the jiva in the spiritual world. Any insight on that?
Yeah, well, sometimes these things are stated in different ways. Is that the one that Bhakti knows? Spiritual body, the final stage, okay, once material mind, body, intelligence, plus ego will be cast off, and one will appear in a pure spiritual body. Obviously, that spiritual body also has spiritual mind, body, and intelligence. So, yeah, it's a process of spiritualization. Because right now, while in this material world, particularly, we do have to use the material mind, intelligence, etc., and the more we use in Krishna service, they become spiritualized. So at some point, I think that's what I was saying, when you're saying cast off, it means they become fully, fully spiritual. Was there questions on the ladies' side? Yeah, a couple over here.
Mm-hmm. Hare Krishna, thank you. You were speaking, and I didn't hear the rest of the sentence, so I wanted to ask you what you said. When you said that we associate with worldly-minded people when we're working, we don't give our hearts, and then you continue to say, we give our hearts to the devotees, even if we have to, and the rest of it, I did not hear what you said. I've been thinking, what did you say? You said, we give our hearts to the devotees, even if we have to.
Even if we have to, are associating with non-devotees.
Oh.
And, yeah, I mean, right. It's actually a fairly simple point.
I was just wondering what the rest of that sentence was.
Yeah, in other words, you know, we reserve our intimate relationships with devotees.
So we want to develop this right attitude when we chant with Trinata Pisanichana, that and praying to the Lord that He will give us the mercy. So isn't that also creating some kind of expectation? So now I'm doing all these things and therefore I should have some higher taste now. So, what is this? So we try to fulfill the prerequisites, so to say, and then we also await that Krishna is merciful to us and actually reveals Himself in the holy name to us. So, sometimes it doesn't come maybe right away, you know, we think, okay, I am humble and I'm trying to follow this. I am not always fixed up in my wrongs and I'm not always perfect. So how do we pray to Krishna?
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, that's a good point because you sort of know ideally or theoretically maybe perhaps what our attitude should be but it's not always there. We're not always doing it perfectly and we may or may not get immediate results. You said in the beginning about we shouldn't have expectations of achieving something? Or I didn't quite get the first one.
Isn't that having an expectation? Yeah. So beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's natural. I mean, it's probably not the highest stage to have some expectation. I'll get this reciprocation because, you know, we don't know how Krishna's going to reciprocate with us and we can't exactly demand that or expect that. You know, but I think it's natural at our stage of sadhana to, you know, think, well, some result will probably come or should come, or I'm looking for some result. You know, just we just temper that a little bit. We kind of know that's, you know, not that it's the highest stage, but at the same time, but your real question was really, it's like, what do, when it's not there, or we sometimes don't experience those things. How do we wait? Okay. Well, what are the three qualities given in Nectar instruction about how we execute devotional service with determination? Patience. Yes, that's the one I was looking for there. Yeah, the third one is patience. So while there has to be determination, enthusiasm, all that, there also has to be patience. That's specifically mentioned by Rupa Goswami, and we do have, need to take these instructions by our acharyas to heart. And patience is difficult because we tend to be impatient. You know, to be impatient is to be, of course, a little bit in the mode of passion. Most of us, especially in the Western world, we tend to be a little bit in the mode of passion. And we want things to happen soon. And, of course, you know, to desire to become purified, desire to serve Krishna nicely, is not a bad thing. So, in other words, it's the balance. We want to keep our enthusiasm and determination to go forward. At the same time, being patient, you know, just like Lord Brahma's prayers, you know, saying, knowing that, you know, I may have to suffer so much in this material world, you know, might be life, many, many lifetimes, but still, I keep that determination to always serve Krishna. I'll end with, I've told this one before, but, you know, I repeat myself, what can I say? One of the remembrances of Narayan Prabhu, of Srila Prabhupada was, he was in the room of Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada was chanting, walking back and forth. You know, sometimes he would be really, just you could tell his determination is chanting, walking, he liked to be pacing back and forth. And Narayan kind of paused for a moment, and Narayan said to him, Prabhupada. Narayan was very dramatic, I don't know if I can imitate him or not. He said, Prabhupada, is it possible? Is it possible that even someone like me could sometime, somehow or another, become pure? And Prabhupada chanted a little bit. He walked back and forth. He said, yes. And then he stopped. He chanted, walked a couple times back and forth. Finally turned around and said, but it may take a very long time. So, yes, we have to be patient for the process to work. Okay, thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Jai Shiva Prabhupada.